like to greet all of you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have indeed been well instructed this morning about the purpose of memorials. It's a remembrance. As often as you do these things, you show the Lord's death till they come. That's what it's about. And we have much to be thankful for today, and much to remember, and much to anticipate in our future life as well. We're blessed to be here this morning and be able to speak to you and be able to open our Bibles. I've been looking into the mysteries of God. I have found it such a rewarding subject. And right away you say, well, that's for preachers. That's not for me. That's for studiers of the depth of the Word. No, it's for anybody here that's 8 years old or older. These are sacred secrets, but they're hidden in plain sight in the Bible. And they're for us today in the New Testament. Now, the Bible says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29. But those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Every mystery in the Bible is revealed. And it's in plain sight. And it's for you to know. I found a dozen in here. I found 11. I feel like there might be a dozen, perhaps one in the book of Laodiceans. It is now extant. But anyway, the mysteries are for us to know. And there's one right here, and this is the one we want to talk about today. The mystery of the church. And right away when we get spinning on church, we think about denominations and we think about all these buildings around town. Take all that out of your mouth, your mind. We're talking today about the Church of Jesus Christ as God has established it in the world. We have denominations today for good reason. We like to worship the Lord in the way we feel comfortable, the way we understand the Scriptures and the way God opens the Bible to us. We believe in non-resistance. We believe in the prayer coming, and so on and so on. This is what denominations are about today. It didn't have them in the days of the early church. And it didn't have them when God set up the church on the earth. But we have one of these mysteries right here, beginning at verse 1 here, chapter 3. For this cause, that's back in chapter 2, what it's teaching. And it's teaching exactly the same thing as we revealed here in chapter 3. I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, he was in jail. Gentiles, that's the Ephesians, that's us. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, or that's a teaching or a stewardship or something for me to pass on to you, that's what Paul says. If you have heard of that, and you have, because I told you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Well, that's fine. God revealed the mystery to Paul. But this mystery is revealed to us as well as Paul. God made known unto me the mystery. And if you look here, there's a parenthesis here that starts at the end of chapter 3. And it goes to the end of chapter 4. Let's set that over here. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ, by the gospel, in the whole lives of this book. That never happened until the New Testament, even though it was prophesied. All the mysteries are in the New Testament. And all the mysteries are revealed in the New Testament. And the word mystery is not even in the Old Testament. These are sacred secrets that God chose to reveal to people when the right time was there. They were known unto him before the foundation of the world. They were not known to the Old Testament saints, but they're hidden in plain sight in the New Testament. You can't miss them. Behold, I show you a mystery. There's one. It is a great mystery. There's another one. Every time you run across that word, mystery, in the Bible here, there's a concept, a teaching of the Lord that you need to know. You need to dig in a little bit. It's not that deep. Follow it. Get your concordance out. Go from scripture to scripture. Look at it. See what it is. All the mysteries are revealed only to those that are born again. Nobody else will understand it. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the Bible on the outside. You open that up, you read it, you study it, and God opens His Word as to what these mysteries are. He reveals it to those that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says over here in 1 Corinthians 1, he says this. I want to read that, so we have it here. Let a man so account of us, that's Paul, that's the ministry, as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward is one that deals in someone else's goods. And that's what these brethren do here. That's what we're doing today. We're dealing in someone else's goods. The goods we're dealing in today is the truth of the Word of God. And so we have a manual here that we can look at. And we can draw from the teaching that's here the truths that God wants us to have. And that's what these mysteries are. You know, in the Old Testament, you got prophecies. Mysteries are not prophecies. Mysteries are revealed truths that are revealed at the time that God is ready to bring them forth to His people. Prophecies might look ahead 2,000 years, 3,000 years. And they indicate things that are actually going to come to pass on the earth that God has designed. But a mystery is with us today. A mystery is for us to know. And as we dig into the mysteries, God reveals His plans and His purposes to us in our day. Because that's what the mysteries are about. I don't care if you're in the first ages of the church, as long as you have the scrolls for the New Testament scriptures, you have the mysteries in your hand. And now it is under the Spirit, and as we open the Word, to bring those mysteries into our hearts and minds. They're all known in the mind of God from the beginning. They reveal the plan and purpose of God. And they are revealed at the time He deals to reveal them. And they are revealed by the Holy Spirit. And they are revealed to our good, and they're here for us to know. We miss something big if we don't get into the mysteries. I'm going to go over a quick list for you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. And don't take time looking these up. I'll give you a scripture if you want to look at home. You go ahead and do that. One of them, and I have no particular order of these. This is just the way I have them there. The mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. That's Christmas. The mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Study that out. That's Christmas. Here's another one. The mystery of Christ in you. The hope of glory. Colossians 1:26, 27. Christ in you. Do you realize you have Christ in you? Do you realize you have the Holy Spirit in you? Do you want to doubt that? Why? Why? Don't you realize that the battle in life that you're fighting now against evil and good, or between evil and good, is brought unto you because you have the Holy Spirit and Christ within you? He's there. He lives there. Mystery of Christ. Here's the mystery of Christ and the church. Today we're going to talk about the mystery of the church. But the mystery of Christ and the church. This is in Ephesians 5, 31, 32. It's a type of the marriage relationship, or we should put it the other way around. The marriage relationship is a type of the mystery of Christ and the church. Dig into that. The truths are there. Whatever is true in the relationship between Christ and the church, it is true in the marriage relationship between the husband and the wife. And it goes on talking. Here's another one, the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. They're all identified. They're all in plain sight. This is the seven stars or the seven angels of the churches. And the seven candlesticks are that thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation chapter 1 and on through. Verse 20. Here's another one, the mystery of Israel's blindness in part and the future conversion of Israel. We're right in these days. We're right down there. Israel's back in the land. First time in 2,000 years, 1948, they went back to their homeland. It was prophesied to come, and there's more to come yet. It's not over yet. But this is in Romans 11, 25 to 27. That's another one. Here's another one, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. This is brought to us by Jesus, Matthew 13. So much in that chapter, the mysteries. But it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To unbelievers, it's not given to know. The only way you're going to know them is study them out. Look them up. Not that hard. Here's another one, the mystery of Babylon. This is the harlot religion, political, and economic system of the last days. We're right here. It's going on today. Starting to mass big time. Religion. Politics, economics, confusion today. We're waiting for the Great Answer Man to come along. It's got the solution to all the issues. And the people will be mad to follow him. Culture in general. Revelation 17, 5. The mystery of the coming change. The dead shall be raised with a new body. That's 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And we shall all be changed. That's another one of the mysteries. Another one is the mystery of his will. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. The mystery of his will has to do with the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. The millennial, the new heaven, the new earth, the mystery of his will. It's all in here. These are some of the mysteries. And they're sacred secrets. And they're hidden here to eyes that do not have the Spirit, but they're wide open before us. And we can look, and we can see, and we can study them. Going back here to Ephesians 2, or 3, Paul says, now that by revelation you may know unto me the mystery. That's one of them. The mystery which in other ages was not made known. Remember, there's none of these revealed in the Old Testament. And Paul says, the Spirit and God made known unto me the mystery. That the son, unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We know it today. Here it is. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You don't run to the Jews today for salvation. You don't run to the nation of Israel for access to God, as he did for thousands of years in the Old Testament. It's all that they had. If you want to be a worshiper of the Lord, a server of God, you joined him in the camp of the Israelites, and you looked at the law. And to the extent you could, you practiced the law. And you brought all your sacrifices and all your gifts. And all these things are required under the law. And you know what they did? The law pointed forward to Christ. 100%. You can find it in the book of Hebrews. You can find it in other places in the Bible. These things are meant to be known. And when it says the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, what is that? There's only one body I know of. Okay? That's the body of Christ. That's the church. And you strip away everything else. If you have redemption, you're in the church. That's just the way it is. And then we go back, we go on our way to worship and to serve and to grow in grace and the further knowledge of the truth. And that's where we're at this morning. I want to sing another hymn here. 484.
In line with
somehow. Oh, when shall I see Jesus and dwell with him above? Drink the flowing fountain of everlasting love. When shall I be delivered from this vain world of sin? And with my blessed Jesus, drink endless pleasures in. But now I am a soldier, my captain's gone before. He's given me my orders and tells me not to fear. And if I hold out faithful, a crown of life he'll give. And all his valiant soldiers eternal life shall have. Through grace, I am determined to conquer though I die, and then away to Jesus. On wings of love, I'll fly. Farewell to sin and sorrow, I bid it all adieu. You, my friends, be faithful, and on your way pursue. Now, if I determine this morning that I cannot understand this lesson, it's me speaking, not God. Remember that. If you miss it this morning, I missed it on my own. It's in plain sight, I'm telling you. It's right here. And right here it is. You read it? The mystery by revelation made known unto me. What God will do for us. That the Gentiles, verse 6, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, you're not going to go to heaven without belonging to the church.
Whoa! Whoa!
That's true. The church is the body of Christ. We're beyond denominations here. We're over here in the sacred territory. You won't get there without belonging to the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And the redeemed are members of the church. And they are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is all one package. Deal. And that's why Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He's in the church. Doesn't mean you can't walk away or read Hebrews. But you won't get there without being a part of the church. I'm not talking denominations. That's over here hanging on the shelf. We're talking spiritual truth, mainline. Jew and Gentile in one body. And as far as I know, most of us are Gentiles, and that simply means we're not from the culture or blood of the Jews. So this concerns us, and it concerns the Jews as well in the New Testament day. Let's go back one chapter here. Paul talks about this cause. The cause is listed back here in chapter 2. Verse 1, you has he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, who are these Jews? They're the Ephesians. They're Gentiles. They're not Jews. And he's quickened you. That means he's made you alive. Just as real as the resurrection of 1 Corinthians 15 will be. It's Christ in you. It's the gospel that you have received. Whosoever believes, that's us. He has quickened us. He's made alive. Made us alive. It's his work. And here we, here's where we were. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, you plug our culture into this here. This isn't our culture. Our young people, as a rule, and with few exceptions,
don't belong, and with many exceptions, don't belong in this culture.
This is a Gentile people. They were into idols. They were into immorality. They were into everything that displeased God. And they were out there. And Paul says, this is where you were. And he says in the next verse, we all had our conversation or our manner of living in this way to some shadow or degree. Point is, if you're not in Christ, you're out of Christ. And if you're out of Christ, you're lost and you're going to hell. Period. That's what the Bible teaches. Sorry. When we come to the point where we believe and we accept and we see, the whole thing turns over and it changes. Then it is the Holy Spirit in us. Then it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we have redemption, and then we are a new person in Christ. But before, it doesn't matter whether you were as idolatrous as the Ephesians, they were out of Christ, or simply an unbeliever, or one who wouldn't believe, or an agnostic, one that don't know. We need to get over the wire here and get into relationship with Jesus Christ through the promises of the gospel. Paul says, verse 3, we all had our conversation in time past with the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the mind and by nature that's over wrath and those others. Now go down here to verse 13. But now, New Testament day of grace. But now, right here in Quinter, Kansas. But now, in Pasco, Washington. But now, in my personal and particular condition, and yours as well. But now, in Christ Jesus, this is a relationship. This is one that we've, bought into. The price was the blood of Christ. We accepted that. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is a mystery. That's the one we were talking about, remember? Jew and Gentile in one body? Here we're talking about the Gentiles. You were far off. You didn't have any claim on this. Didn't belong to you. Wasn't raised in it. But now, ye, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Isn't that the gospel? Yeah, it is. It's the same story we read all the way through the New Testament. For he is our peace. That's Christ, Jesus, that blood, who has made both one. Who's the both? Jew, Gentile. Not so hard, is it? He has made both one through his sacrifice. He has invited both Jew and Gentile into his body, the church. And we are members of that today. He has done this, not me. I simply accepted the provisions that he made. He is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And I think this goes back to the temple that Israel had, and the Gentiles could come to a certain wall, the outer court, and they could go no farther. And inside of that was the Jews, and they had their sacrifices and all that inside of that area where the Gentiles could not come. But what do we have in the mystery? He has broken down the middle wall of partition. Jew and Gentile are on an even plane. Broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and has abolished in his flesh the enmity or the bitterness, or the ugliness, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, and to make of himself one new man, and so making peace. He took away the law. It's gone forever. It's not coming back. And there was nothing wrong with the law. I challenge you to find anything wrong with the law. in this Bible. The problem with the law is that the people wouldn't keep it, and really in the ultimate, they couldn't keep it. But if they could keep it, they could walk right into heaven. You know what? There's somebody that did keep it, and that's Jesus. And we are adopted through the Lord Jesus Christ into the family of God, and we become heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Having abolished in his flesh, that's his sacrifice on the cross, the enmity, the hatred, took it away, even the law of commandments containing an ordinance, or to make in himself of one new man, that's the church. Only place in the Bible where I know of that the church is spoken of in the masculine gender, but it can't be anything else. Yes, we're a new man in Christ, I realize that. We have an old man and a new man, that's a whole other gospel. But this is one new man that the Lord Jesus had made in Christ, and that's Jew and Gentile. And that he might reconcile both, again, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross. Now that's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews and in the same body. That's a mystery. You think that's hard? No, it isn't hard. You can understand that. They're all the same. I can understand that too. But to a person that has not the Holy Spirit or cares not, they'll skate right over this. There's some kind of a sacred secret or some kind of a mystery over there we can't understand. Read on. We don't want to do that. We want to get down here in the basement and see what's really happening. Might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you. That's these Ephesians. That's the Jews in the first case right here. To you which are afar off. No, it is the Ephesians. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off. That's the Ephesians. That's us. We're not of Jewish blood. We're not of Jewish heritage. We're not that peculiar treasure that God chose of his own to nurture and to build on the earth and to take his name around the earth. And they did such a lousy job of it. And before God even started with it, he knew exactly how it was going to turn out. And to them which that were nigh, that's the Jews, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And that access is Jew and Gentile in one body of the church, and we have access to the Father through the blessings of the sacrifice of Christ. Now therefore, we had but now up here above, verse 13, now we're back there again. Therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's who we are. That's where we are. We're in the church. We're fellow citizens, it says right here, with the saints. The Ephesians, the Gentiles, the Jews. We're all fellows in the same ship. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Spirit calls Jews. The Spirit calls Gentiles. We are builded together. We are in one body. And it's for a habitation of the Spirit. And it's in you, and you, and it's in you. And it's in every born-again believer that has been since the day of Pentecost. Now, I want to go back here into the book of John. I want to talk a little about the Jews here. This is not us. If you go back to John chapter 1, It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and so on. This is a reference to Jesus Christ. The Logos. It's not the subject today, just accept it as a fact. He's talking about Jesus, the Son of God, deity. Here, the one also who is the Messiah. I'll go down here to verse 10. He was in the world. Remember, we talked about that this morning. The mystery of godliness. That's what it's talking about. He was in the world, Jesus. And the world was made by Him, says it up here a few verses. And the world knew Him not, neither Jew nor Gentile. He came unto His own, that's His nation, the Jewish people, and His own received them not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Do you remember the conversation with Nicodemus that night? Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he says, well, we know you're a teacher come from God because no man can do the miracles you do except God be with him. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. That's what he said. Straight out. You gotta be born again. We were all born once. Nicodemus knew that. He said, how can I do this? Can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We can see that. What we're talking about today is revealing it further. But he came unto those that were his nation, they wouldn't receive him. But it says here that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Remember what it says here in Acts 2? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now in the church. These people are in the church. I think it says there are thousands baptized that same day. They're in the church. And here we are, the mystery of God. Now let's go over a little farther in the book of Acts here. Let's follow this a little farther. Let's go to the day of Pentecost. Acts 2. And it says here, verse 5. No, Acts 1, verse 5. This is before Pentecost. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. The church started with the Jews. The church for a long time was with the Jews. Christ was preached to the Jews only for a long time. The mystery had not yet fulfilled itself that the Gentiles were called into the same body. It says here there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews out of every nation under heaven. And if you go over here to chapter 11, it says here, verse 19, they which were scattered abroad, that's they run out of Jerusalem by persecution, upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but Jews only. They went to the synagogue and talked to Jews. Jesus Christ died for your sin. Jesus Christ is Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They went to the synagogue and they talked to the Jews. Once in a while there's a Gentile and dispersed, and as Paul went around the world, he did the same thing. He went to the synagogue. He started with a Jew. And eventually it moved down to the Gentile. And that's what that mystery is, Jew and Gentile now, in one body. If you go back one chapter here, it's chapter 10 of Acts. And this is a chapter sometimes we read and we
And you wonder why it's even in here. It's about a man that's a Roman, he's a Gentile, and he's a soldier. His name is Cornelius. But he was a good man, and he had some kind of relationship with the Jewish people, and he was a prayer. He was a serious man with his religion. One afternoon, he was on his knees praying, talking to God, and an angel came in his presence. And he was quite frightened about this, and I guess I would be too. But God had a message for the man, and he told him, I want you to send and call for a man named Simon Peter. He's over at Joppa. He's staying there right now temporarily. You go over there and you ask him to come over, and he's got a message that he wants to talk to you about. Now, old Peter, he was a dyed in the wool Jew. Nothing to do with the Gentiles or heathen or dogs. I want nothing to do with it. That was the attitude of the whole Jewish culture at the time that Jesus came here. And so he did. He sent a soldier and a servant, a couple of soldiers, over there to Joppa to find Peter. Well, they went over there. I think it took them a day or so to get over there. They knocked on the house and they said, is a man named Peter here? Yeah, he's here. Come on in. Well, meantime, Peter was up on the housetop praying. And that sounds kind of funny to us, but they had flat roof houses. And they would go up there for their relaxation, prayers, and quiet time. So Peter was up there praying. And they were preparing dinner down below. He's kind of hungry, probably drifting up there. Nobody thought all about it. The Bible says he went into a trance. We've all been in a trance. It's when you got a message coming in here and you're not quite ready to process it here, so you stack it up here in your brain somewhere and go on and finish what you was thinking about, and then you go back and grab that. That's what I would call a trance. We've all had those. And he was in this trance, and while he was in this state, there came a sheet down from heaven, and there was all kinds of beasts and snakes and everything in there, rodents, that a man that is an Israelite should not eat. And there was four nets on the corner, like it was let down by ropes. I don't know that there was any ropes. But it came down there, and a voice said, Peter, rise, come and eat. Now, Peter would never do that. No, never. He would never do that. Remember, we're talking about Jew and Gentile getting into the same body. They hated each other. And Peter hated the Gentiles. They're dogs. And here this thing comes down three times with the same message. Rise, Peter, slay, and eat. Oh, no, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean. He didn't know what it all meant. He had a day or two to think about it before he kind of come to the conclusion. But it was taken back up into heaven, and he was called down to bed. Met the people that had come from Cornelius' house, and soon were on their way a couple of days back over there to where Cornelius lived. Peter was rolling this thing around in his mind. What is all this? Yeah, it was a vision. It was a trance. I seen it. God spoke. I heard it. What does it mean? Well, he got over there to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius got down on his knees. Here's the guy that he was told to send, and having come over here and talked to him, and he had a message from God for him, he fell right down on his knees on his face. Peter said, God. He says, I'm a man just like you are. And then Cornelius began to tell him about what happened in his life. He says, I was praying here the other afternoon, and an angel came and told me I needed to send over to Joppa and contact you and get you to come over here and tell us what we need to know. So God has spoken to Cornelius. God has spoken to Peter. Now he brings them together in Peter's house. And he said, more than that, I've got some friends and associates here
and we want to hear what you've got to say. And the 10th chapter of Acts, he begins to talk. And he begins to preach the gospel unto him. He begins to talk to him about Jesus Christ. Go back here to the 10th chapter of Acts. He says here, go down to about, Cornelius is talking, 32, send therefore to Joppa and call Peter, who will speak to you. Now therefore, he says, we're all here, verse 33, to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Now, Peter starts to talk. Then Peter opened his mouth. Now he's in the house of a Gentile, he's not supposed to be there as a Jew in his religious stature, but here he is. And he's in the house of a soldier, and Jesus taught me resistance and peace. What am I doing here? Why am I here? Because of the mystery of the Jew and Gentile in the same body. That's why. Now it's going to go wide open. Now therefore we're all here, present before God, to hear all these things God commanded thee. 34. Then Peter opened his mouth, and he said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's big for Peter. You mean the Jews aren't better than the Gentiles? Remember, he rolled us around for 2 days. And we don't know what else God told him either. But the result is right here. No respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word of God, which was sent into the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, 37, that word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism John preached. That's when Jesus came into the world. And this was preached down there at Jerusalem, but it was preached only to the Jews. The word, I say, you know. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of Jews and Jerusalem. Peter says, I was there. Him, verse 40, God raised up the third day. And verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes shall receive remission of sins. That was the duty that Peter had. Go and preach. Give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. And that was his duty. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. You know anywhere in the Bible that the Holy Ghost was received by believers before baptism? This is the only place I know of. You know why? Because this is such a great thing. The mystery of the Jew and Gentile in the same body. That God chose to indwell these ones with the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. It's here. Maria. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which were believed, the members of the church, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry a certain day. They wanted to know more. Wow. Wow. The whole plans and ideas of people are thrown in reverse. The Gentiles come through Jesus to be members in the church. The Jews now are in the church. with the Gentiles. And somebody is going to answer for baptizing Gentiles into the Jewish church. And the answer is real close and real quick. Verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 2. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, they contended with him, they argued with him, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised. You went away with the Gentiles, Peter, and you did eat with them." And Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded unto them by order to them. He went through the whole thing. You know what? When Peter left Joppa, he took six brethren with him. Why did he do that? Because he had witnesses. This is what happened at the house of Cornelius. This is why we baptize the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius. And these are the witnesses with me of what God did at that house. This throws the church open for whosoever will, that they may come. Verse 17, chapter 11. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? This is at Jerusalem now, when Peter and these six are called into account. Who are we that we could stand in the face of God when he gave them the Holy Spirit as believers? And who were we to withstand and not baptize these, that they might be members of the Church of Christ? When they heard these things, they held their peace. This is a whole crowd back in Jerusalem. We're talking about things here that we don't see. We don't see God shake the mountains in our day. God was doing miracle after miracle in the days of the church when it was new, when the greatest of the Gentiles being brought into the church. And when they heard these things, they held their peace. Here's the whole church body nucleus at Jerusalem. Didn't have anything to say. Nobody said anything. They simply didn't argue against them. But they come to this conclusion, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Jew and Gentile, same body, mystery. This is how it happened. This is how it began. This is how it was revealed. Not hard to understand, is it? Beautiful picture. And here we are in the same body. You think God hasn't done for us what he did for them? Same thing. Peter have any more of the Holy Spirit than you do? No. God any more in Peter than he is in you? Uh-uh. But others might have a lot more. God might have a lot more of others than he has of me. That's very possible. Even though I'm a believer. It's of our will that we can surrender ourselves to him. Now let's go over here. 15th chapter of Acts. Not Pentecost, but the early council there in the church. Acts 15. You know, this is challenged. It wasn't all over at the end of the 11th chapter of Acts. And now we're down in Antioch. We're hundreds of miles from Jerusalem. We got a new church down there. Paul, Peter, Barnabas. They're going around the world with the gospel. And there's a church established down there. And somebody come down from Jerusalem and said, "Hey, you might think you're God's chosen. And you might think he's happy with you. But unless you keep the law of Moses, you're not with God." These guys come down from Jerusalem. Tell them that. These were the disgruntled ones. These were the ones that wouldn't believe. These are the ones that were unhappy that the Jews were taking them with the body of Christ. And they made this 100-mile journey over there to Antioch. And they said, "You've got to keep the law of Moses, sir. You're not going to be a part of the church. Be with God." Pretty serious.
What'd they do?
They sent running back to Jerusalem to find out what it is. What's going on here? What is the true doctrine of the church? Do we have to keep the law of Moses? The whole thing was going under the bus right here, so to speak. We got to go back to law because that's the root. So they sent these men over to Antioch, certain men, verse 1, chapter 15. Came down from Judea, taught the brethren, and said, except to be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas should go up to Jerusalem, but the apostles about this question. Verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all these things that God had done with them. Here these brethren have been out starting around the world, conversions in city after city, resulting from the preaching of the gospel. Nothing about the law given. It wasn't to be given with the gospel. And they came back and they said, we've had success along the way, and here we are. They were received in the church, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. This is another denomination. These were believers. These were believers. But they were kind of another denomination here in the new church. And they rose up. They didn't like it. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Right here is where it could have went into dust. You talk about disputation and contentions. You talk about differences of opinion. People this way, people that way. It's nothing new. It's always been. But God revealed that the church would be made up of Jew and Gentile. A mystery. Jew and Gentile in the same body. And it's on its way now, but it's challenged. And these came up here, and this is what they're running into. Most of them, they didn't have a problem with it. There's this bunch over here, and we're not happy with this. It's not right. My dad told me, my mom told me, my grandpa was a priest. Can't be. Not been taught that way. But God says, yes, he can be, and will be. Then we come down to James here. We're down about 13 here. After they had held their peace, after they got done arguing there, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. He was evidently one of the wise senior brethren in the Jewish assembly there at Jerusalem. Simeon, that's Peter, has declared unto you how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, and he accounted them a people for his name. And I suppose that refers to Cornelius. And to this agree the words of the prophets. Read your Bible, he said. As it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek the Lord, seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles on whom my name is called might seek the Lord, who does all these things, known unto God for all his works from the beginning of the world. James's counsel. Hey, listen. Peter told you what he did over there at Cornelius' house. The Bible told you, the Word of God told you, that God was going to call the Gentiles to himself. Listen, he says. Here's my conclusion, verse 19. My sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God by that, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Four things. That was the mind, that was the rendering of the council at Jerusalem, and as far as I know, those are still in effect today. Abstain from things strangled, from pollutions, and from fornication and for the blood. And so they wrote that up. And they sent it back with those brethren back to Antioch, and that brought peace there at the church at Antioch. And the church continued on, and more believers were added daily. Now let's finish up back here in this third chapter of Ephesians. The mystery, verse 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. We know what that mystery is, what it means. And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, they slipped right in to the merits of the Lord Jesus. Now he says, I was made a minister whereof the gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Remember those three journeys that Paul went on around the world preaching? Sometimes they call them the missionary journeys. You can follow them on the map. He'd go into a town, and where's the synagogue? It's over here. He'd go in there and he'd preach. And he'd take the Old Testament scriptures and he'd preach to them Jesus. He would get into Isaiah 42, where he was. He would get into Isaiah 53, about the suffering servant that was going to die. He'd get into Isaiah 55, about like the rain coming down from heaven. And it's going to accomplish its purpose. And it's going to grow fruit. And it's going to yield. That's the way Paul preached. He didn't have a New Testament. He didn't have a commitment that we have in the New Testament. But he went back to the Old, and he picked it all up, and he preached it. And that's what it's talking about here. He preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, that he might make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That means the partaking of the mystery. You want everybody to understand this, whether he's Jew or Gentile. You want to be able to partake of this mystery. That we're all in the same body now. The church is here. The church of Jesus Christ is here. We're indwelt by the Spirit. We're members of his body. That has been hid in God, the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, remember? Here it is, hidden plain sight. But in the Old Testament, nobody's seen this. Nobody's seen the church, Jew and Gentile, in the same body. But here it is, it was hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent, here's the reason, that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. How's God going to save evil? He's going to have a son, a perfect son, that come to the world, and he sheds his blood, taking my place in the death that I owe, that I couldn't pay, and the death that was due me, and he took my place. And it says, by this, the world might know, by the church, in heaven, in the heavenlies. That goes right to the devil's door. He tells you you're not worth saving. What right does he got to say anything about it? Jesus died for me. He shed his blood for me. He's a perfect sacrifice for me. He has joined me into the church's body. He did that. And by the church might be known, it says, the manifold wisdom of God. God had his wisdom, God had his purpose. This is only one of those mysteries that we talked about. I hope you have a desire to dig into them. I hope you have a desire to get to the bottom of those mysteries. They're made for us to know. They're revealed to us in our day. We can open them up by the Holy Spirit
if we so desire to do so. They're fruitful, they're encouraging, they're instructing, and they are the mysteries of God.